We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
To the basket, the slam. For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Holy three. Goal! Holy ball!
Left wing. Pow, pow.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Regular season champions and now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Thank you, and welcome inside the Casanova Center as we get ready for tip-off Tuesday today. No show yesterday in celebration of Martin Luther King Day, and we actually talked about that with Oregon men's basketball assistant coach Mike Menega. We sat down with him this morning, and we have that interview for you coming on tip-off Tuesday this afternoon. Tip-off Tuesday presented by Carl's Jr., 2:30 to 3:30 on the Oregon men's basketball and Oregon women's basketball Facebook pages, and of course the Go Ducks YouTube page as well. All your programming notes, goducks.com/radio, where you can tune in on a station in your market. As you can see, the desk is set up for a basketball-centric show today, right? Makes sense, and so that's what we're getting ready for you. Meanwhile, though, today, a lot of updates after a three-day weekend for many of us. Unfortunately, no men's basketball this weekend and no women's basketball this weekend, and to be honest, it felt weird. Watching the NFL playoffs, yeah, that was cool, I guess. It was especially cool if you're a Bills fan like Mike Menega is. But it felt odd not having any Oregon athletic events. Now, we knew that that could be a possibility, right? Like, we knew that that could happen. It was just unfortunate that it did happen. So now, though, there's tons of updates for you because Oregon men's basketball has been cleared to resume all team-related activities. So they're getting ready for a basketball game against Oregon State coming up at 7:30 on Saturday. They were supposed to play the originally rescheduled UCLA game today, but then that game got postponed due to the COVID pause within the Oregon program. So that's why we're here doing a Duck Insider for you today, and that game's now going to be played in LA on February 1st. I bring all that up to tell you that the last time Oregon men's basketball was going through pregame warmups to play a game at Matthew Knight Arena, it was December 23rd.
Wow.
Well, wait, no, that's not true. Because then they actually did play a couple New Year's Eve games around New Year's Eve against the Mountain Schools. The point I'm making is it's been nutty. It's been wild. And the first thought that I had when I saw that it was going to be the 23rd when the Ducks would play Oregon State next at home, I was like, well, it was just a month ago that the Ducks had to reschedule that UCLA game because an official had tested positive. I can't keep the schedule straight, and fans, I don't know if you can either, but we do our best. We do our best to have the schedule be updated. So stay in touch with social media, and we'll do our best to let you know when some of the rescheduling occurs. Anyway, it's just been wild to keep track of it all. So it's been, though, almost a month is my point since the Ducks played at Matthew Knight Arena. And they'll do that coming up on Saturday at 7:30 when the Ducks will face Oregon State. So we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. As Coach Altman said on Monday yesterday, quote, "The health and safety of our student athletes is always our top priority, and we were grateful to our medical team for guiding us through this process. We are resuming activities today and will continue following all COVID-related protocols." That was Coach Altman in a statement made yesterday. So, number 21, Oregon, set to host Oregon State, 7:30 p.m., a Pac-12 network broadcast. We'll have a 7 o'clock pregame show for you. Myself and Jerry Allen will be on the call. Three games were postponed during that Ducks pause. I mentioned the UCLA game that was originally set to be played today, and then, of course, that pair of desert school matchups with Arizona and Arizona State. Those are postponed and will be rescheduled at a later date. And, you know, look, I will say this is no, like, insider information for you, even though it's called Duck Insider. Sorry. That was a bad joke. It's still unknown when those games will be played. And to be honest, I don't know if they will be played. You know, you just take a look at the schedule and where things could fit in, where those puzzle pieces fit together for the two schools and the three schools, really. Who knows? Who knows? I think that, as Coach Altman said, heading into the season, we will all be happy to play 20 games, 20 league games, that is. And the Ducks were fortunate enough to get a number of non-conference games in, and that has not been the case across the entire conference. If you look at the schedules for the Pac-12, the Ducks, even though they started a week later than everybody else for the most part, they've played more games than most. So for the Ducks, as Mike Menega put it today, and you're here on Tip-Off Tuesday, the Basketball Coaches Show coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. If you're watching the show live or at 7 o'clock on the radio affiliate in your market, the Ducks just happy to be back on the floor. A lot of energy at practice yesterday. They'll continue with practice today and get ready for that matchup with the Beavers coming up on Saturday. For Oregon women's basketball, they didn't have a game this weekend because Arizona State is currently in the midst of a COVID pause. And now the Ducks begin their second tour through the Pac-12 schedule. Remember, this will be the first year that the Ducks and the rest of the Pac-12 play a 22-game conference schedule. And Oregon is now beginning the second wave of the round robin, where they will face Washington State, and they will face Washington coming up at home this weekend. So we've got basketball games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Matthew Knight Arena. 5 o'clock when the Ducks will face Washington State. On Friday, Terry Johns and Bev Smith with a 4:30 pregame show. First question for the day coming from Paul. What's the latest on Will Richardson? So Will was, he had thumb surgery on December 2nd was the exact date. And the Ducks were hopeful that it would be about 6 weeks when he'd be able to get going again, right? Coach Altman said a couple weeks ago that he was getting close to having that cast coming off. And if you are counting back with me, it's been about 6 weeks. Coach Altman was asked specifically if the Oregon State game would be when Will Richardson would be back. And he said, well, I think we're hopeful for that. Now, that was a couple weeks ago. And actually, that was the latest, Paul, on when Will Richardson would be back. If he's able to get back up to speed and he's cleared medically, wouldn't surprise me if you see him on Saturday. But we'll, of course, be asking Coach Altman that as we head into this matchup with the Beavers. But I will say, wouldn't surprise me if the Ducks aren't super forthcoming, because then the Beavs have to prepare for him. No, that's no, you know, that's no like shot or game. I mean, it is a little bit of gamesmanship, I guess, but that's just kind of the way that it works, right? I will say this was cool, too. I mentioned the NFL playoffs earlier, and Nitra says it was fun to watch our Ducks the NFL this week. That was cool. Even just, like, there was a little thing. I was actually working in the garage while the NFL games were on this weekend, and I heard one of the announcers, I think it was Kevin Burkhardt, he said, you know, oh, and Johnny Munt, and I just went, ah, Pro Ducks! You know, like, that is cool. Like, now that I've been here as long as I've been here, it's just cool to hear names like that and be like, man, I remember when I interviewed that guy outside at, you know, the HTC outside the ice bath. You know, the Ducks used to do interviews after they were going through practice, and then they'd be in the ice bath. It was normal thing in fall camp. You'd have the guys come out of the ice bath, and then they'd do interviews. And I still have an image of interviewing Johnny Munt in one of those circumstances for one of our pregame shows. That was cool to see, though, and congrats all to the Pro Ducks at a lot of different levels in the NBA, too. We'll talk about that coming up. We also have a few other schedules to tell you about, and today Mike Jorgensen's going to join us. We actually sat down with Jorgie and did sort of our, I guess it's like our year in review and our off-season year preview, as we sat down with Mike Jorgensen and talked with Jorgie actually for about 20 minutes about just his thoughts on Oregon football, his thoughts on all things Ducks. Really informative conversation and a lot of keys to watch for in the off-season. And it's kind of an unknown offseason, right? We don't exactly know what the protocols will be and how the Ducks will attack those protocols. Probably the better way to say that sentence. They're still working through all of that. But the offseason conditioning and getting ready for a signing day coming up in just a few weeks. Man, we talked about that with Jorgie quite a bit. And we'll continue our Josh Cooley home field advantage. We did Matthew Knight Arena on the 10-year anniversary of Matthew Knight Arena last week. Today, we're going to do Hayward Field. And so if you weren't with us last week, we're zeroing in and giving you some of the inside details on the Oregon facilities across this university. And what I want to not just make this about isn't just, you know, the flash and the glamour and all these things that are cool. I also want to tell you some unique stories about each facility. That's kind of going to be the approach of this feature as we move forward. Yeah, that's the show today. All right, so some schedule updates. We have a volleyball schedule. We have an indoor track and field schedule. And we have a cross-country schedule. I can tell you that we also have a softball schedule in the works. And we have a baseball schedule in the works. Women's golf schedule has been posted. The tennis schedules are still getting worked on. Acro, same thing. Men's golf, getting worked on. But the Ducks, for the men, are scheduled to be playing golf in the next couple weeks, but everything's still getting a little bit finalized. All in all, I say all of this, and I should qualify it by saying the Ducks, everybody in the Pac-12, everybody in the NCAA, we know that things can change. But it's cool, at least for someone sitting in my chair, and I'd imagine for a fan, to at least start to think about the schedule and where you can tune in, how you can tune in, and we really hope that you will. Volleyball. The Ducks did scrimmage Oregon State this past weekend. Matt Ulmer is going to meet with the media today. We'll have those interviews for you on the show tomorrow. As he and the Ducks have announced the 2021 schedule, Oregon will play a 22-match conference-only schedule. As Coach Ulmer talked with us last week, and he said, yeah, no non-conference. It will begin on Friday, January 22nd. Yeah, that's this Friday against Washington State. And Coach Ulmer alluded to this last week. The Ducks are going to play, and the Pac-12, I should say, really, is going to play each team twice per road trip. So Washington State, the Ducks will play in Pullman for Oregon volleyball on the 22nd and the 24th. So that means Washington State does not make the trip to Oregon. But then the Ducks will head home and play UCLA on the 29th and the 31st of January. So you can see the way the conference did this, it limits the traveling, and it limits the amount that the Ducks and every other school are going to be exposed. I think it makes a lot of sense. Coach Ulmer said that since this all started in March, the Pac-12 coaches have all been on a weekly Zoom call talking about the best ways to do these sorts of things, and this is what they came up with. So the schedule will consist of 11 home and 11 road matches, highlighted by 8 contests against teams ranked in the preseason coaches poll. All but 2 weekends will be played on a Friday-Sunday rotation. So similar to Oregon women's basketball, fans, you can pretty much pencil in that a Friday-Sunday is going to be the rotation for Oregon volleyball. Though things could change, and every now and then it isn't quite that way with the Friday-Sunday rotation. But that's the plan for the Ducks and everybody else across the conference. Now, one thing, important thing to note is that Oregon will play a road match against Oregon State and a home match against Oregon State. So that's the, when you think about it, you break up the road trips and you do one trip to Washington State, but then Washington comes to Oregon. That's the way the rotation's going to work in terms of the home versus road. But your rivalry matchup, the Ducks will play the Beavers on the road and at home. So 11 road and 11 home matches. Match times and the TV schedule for the second half of the season will be announced at a later date. The full TV breakdown is available on GoDucks.com. Check out the Oregon volleyball schedule. Also, Robert Johnson today, head coach Oregon track and field, announcing both the indoor track and field schedule and the cross-country schedule. Because remember, cross-country originally set to be a fall sport. Usually it's cross-country, indoor track and field, outdoor track and field. Well, cross-country this year is going to be more of a winter sport. So the indoor track and field schedule will begin with the Razorback Invitational. Of course, as soon as I say that, that's when Scott Phillips changes images on me. End of the month, though, is when indoor track and field is going to get going. And the Ducks will then compete twice in February before the NCAA Championships, March 11th to 13th. Now, this is an important piece here. Oregon will look to add a meet in the final weekend of February because of the recently canceled MPSF Championship. So remember, in indoor track and field, the Ducks don't compete in the Pac-12. They compete in the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. There's just not as many indoor track and field teams in the Pac-12. The Ducks' outdoor schedule, by the way, for those of you wondering, will be released at a later date. But keep your eyes and ears open as Oregon would like to add another meet as they gear up for the NCAA Championships for indoor track and field. And now the cross-country schedule. I'm pulling things quick on Scott here. February 5th is when Oregon will begin the cross-country schedule. And in fact, the Ducks will be competing twice in the Eugene Springfield area. The Oregon Cross Country Open on February 5th, and then on February 19th, the Lane Community College Cross Country Invitational. So twice in February, Oregon won't have to leave, well, for the most part, their own beds. Then the Pac-12 Championships for Cross Country are set for March 5th this year, and the NCAA Championships are set for March 15th. And remember, that outdoor track and field schedule will be announced at a later date. And we can all look forward to seeing Hayward Field in action. And fans, I hope that you'll be able to see it sooner than later. Wear those masks and start to get your vaccine as soon as possible. A lot of schedule updates for you. I know there was a lot of housekeeping there to open the show. If you have any questions for me, let me know in the Facebook comments, YouTube comments, or on Twitter at JoeyMacUO. Okay, quick timeout. When we come back, Mike Jorgensen talking all things Duck football. We look ahead to the upcoming offseason and the 2021 season, if you can believe it. Talking football next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm little teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout. Tip me over and
pull me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack with you in the Country Financial Studio. We get ready for Tip-Off Tuesday, presented by Carl's Jr., coming up this afternoon. 2:30 to 3:30 if you want to watch the show live on the Oregon Men's Basketball and Oregon Women's Basketball Facebook pages and the GoDucks YouTube channel. If you're listening to the show later, subscribe to the Oregon Sports Network podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or you can tune in across the Oregon Sports Network on the radio side of things at 7 o'clock tonight. And calling all cookie lovers, Crumble Cookies. If they have the waffle cookie, I'm telling you to get it. Come see Crumble Cookies off Coburg Road. On Friday, we caught up with one Mike Jorgensen and talked a lot of football with Jorgie. Kind of our season in review. I like to do this with Jerry and Jorgie every January, where we just kind of review the season and look ahead now to the offseason and some questions for Oregon football in this offseason. There's no doubt. We talked about all that with Jorgie. Part one of our conversation with the Oregon football analyst of three decades. Always fun to recap the Oregon football season, look ahead to the offseason, hopefully some spring football recruiting, and then, of course, the 2021 schedule, and we all hope that that 2021 schedule stays as it is currently planned. Let's not have three versions of the 2021 schedule if we can all help it, so get those vaccines, do your part, do what you can do. Mike Jorgensen's with us. Jorgie, you have a day job, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk a little football with us. How you been? I haven't seen you in, well, I guess I did see you in the new year. I was about to say, can I wish you a happy new year? But
yeah,
I think I already did at the Fiesta Bowl, and that wasn't a very happy new year.
No. A couple of weeks goes quick, doesn't it? That's what it's amazing about it. And by the way, you know, you're talking about spring football and recruiting and hopefully a schedule that happens in the fall. Fans, man, I want to see fans in the stands again. That's my hope, you know, to keep that schedule in place, is to have it loosen up, to have people in a much better position to be able to have fans in the stands. It's just, that was probably the biggest thing that I missed this year, and I'm sure you did too, and everybody else did too, was just having people in the stands to create that energy and that feel and football just didn't seem like football without our fans, I'll tell you that.
I did not like walking through Autzen Stadium and being in the seats that would normally be occupied by fans. It was an odd experience for me. A lot of things have been odd in the last 10, 11, 12 months or so. What will you remember most from this unprecedented football season?
Just the challenges of being ready every single week and just not knowing. The uncertainty, I think, every single week, not only for us as a broadcast team, which is a small, teeny tiny piece of any of this production, but the uncertainty that the coaches would go through and the players would go through and the staff would go through every single morning, frankly. Every single morning that the tests took place. Every single day you wait for the results to come back. Every single day you wait for the call to come from your opponent that week. Just the uncertainty, I think, was probably what I remember the most. I mean, wins and losses, beating USC was pretty sweet, I got to tell you that. but just the uncertainty. I think that was the biggest thing, is you just didn't know from day to day what was going to pop out there and what was going to happen. And the stress that puts on everybody that I just mentioned, I can't be measured. It just can't be measured.
Jorgie, if you were a player today, think back to like 18 to 22-year-old Mike Jorgensen, how would you have handled the uncertainty? And I know different era, you know, things are different, phones and connection and everything makes things a little bit different here now compared to 30 years ago. But, I mean, how would you have handled it, you think, mentally?
You know, the toughest thing for me would have been not being able to see, you know, family, being able to get away for those little breaks that you get a chance to every once in a while, whether it's a bye week whether it's Thanksgiving, if you weren't playing on Thanksgiving, it seems like oftentimes they do now, whether it be the Christmas break or whatever, just being so hemmed in probably would have been the toughest part of it. You know, I'll tell you, 18 to 22-year-olds are pretty resilient. And frankly, I think we would have been, if I'd have been an 18 to 22-year-old in this era, or if it would have happened, you know, 35, 40 years ago, I think you're pretty darn resilient about it, because there's a lot of things that don't go through your mind. You're pretty naive. You're pretty strong, I think, when you're 18 to 22 years old. But that's the thing I would have missed probably the most is the break. You know, you love your brethren that you're playing with. You love the coaches, obviously, that are coaching you and working their tails off and that type of deal. But, man, that break to be able to get away, to take a deep breath, they didn't get a chance to. A lot of teams did. They didn't. And yet they still persevered. So
let's talk about this quarterback group. And we're going to go through some of the positions as we look ahead to the offseason and into 2021 with Mike Jorgensen. I think everybody's thinking about the quarterback position, Jorgie, and what exactly the quarterback position is going to look like next year.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be open competition. That's my opinion. I mean, it's not like I've talked to any of the coaches to say, well, who's it going to be? What's the order going to be? I think they're going to reevaluate this thing altogether, because there's some really good football that Tyler Shuck played this year. There's some really good football that Anthony Brown, when he got his opportunity from about USC and Kansas State, played this year. Butterfield has developed. There's no doubt about that as a backup, and he's going to get his shot. And then you have five-star Ty Thompson coming in, who is going to be right in the mix of things, and he's going to be here now to be able to develop, hopefully, in a spring football situation, but the off-season training and everything else. So really what you're looking for, Joey, is improvement. I think Tyler Shuck showed it and then leveled off towards the end of the season, the last two or three games. And tough to know if he lost a little confidence, if others weren't holding up their end of the bargain, but it needs to continue to go up from a standpoint of the improvement each week. And every once in a while, you're going to have one of those games where things are going to happen. Yeah. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to throw the ball into coverage. You're going to get hit and the ball is going to get coughed up or whatever it might happen. That happens because of just the amount of plays that you play and games you play as a QB. But what you want to see is consistent improvement. And so that's going to be the goal, I think, of that group this year, because they're going to have some pretty talented wideouts, another very good backfield, and I think a more experienced offensive line with some young talent coming in there too.
Real quick, I have to go back because you're still thinking about a good Fiesta Bowl game because you said Kansas State than Iowa State.
But I said that during our game,
I know
too.
You did, and that's why I had to bring it up, because Kansas State is still on your mind. We can remember that Fiesta Bowl. But
I get those two. Tell you what, I get Kansas State and Iowa State so mixed up, so because I'm so used to seeing Kansas State in bowl games, big bowl games, and not Iowa State. So Iowa State, that's what I meant.
Well, I had to say
Deleted.
Something about it. It was it made me laugh because I was like, oh man,
thank you.
Those were the good days against Kansas State. That was the
right.
Good day. Jorgie, do you think that a two quarterback system, if you go into a season, I'm not saying this is going to happen, can it work? I mean, it's rare that you've seen a multi quarterback team be successful.
I mean, I think it could work. Ultimately, my belief has always been you need to have one. It's always good to have two really high-level type of players that maybe do have strengths that the other doesn't have and vice versa. But I know as a quarterback, repetitions, getting into a rhythm, getting into a flow, being in series after series after series versus not knowing what the rotations are going to potentially be. You know, eventually I think you want to get to one quarterback, but you know, right now, and we saw that against Iowa State, you know, in that first half in particular, it worked when they played Tyler Shuck and the way that things happened. It worked when Anthony Brown came in and was able to lead the team on a long touchdown drive, a field goal ending drive at the end of the first half, and really made some nice plays. You know, something changed obviously in the second half where neither of them had any success, but I think the importance of getting to one is what you want to, whether that's Shuck, whether that's Brown, whether that's Butterfield, or whether that's Ty Thompson.
All right, let's move on to the running back. So you touched on it a little bit with the skill position groups. The running back spot, Jorgie, I thought when C.J. Verdell was healthy, Oregon's offense looked really good. When C.J. Verdell wasn't healthy, offense didn't look as good. But it's still a pretty deep group of running backs.
Yeah, it is. And maybe a little bit counter to what the quarterback situation would be, where I think you ultimately want a go-to guy in the backfield. I think it's good to have two or three guys like Oregon has had. And that's why you want C.J. Verdell happy, because he's a different type of back than Travis Dye is. And Travis Dye, I thought, played some of the best football of his career at Oregon this year in this short season as a dual threat out of the backfield as a receiver. The way that he runs and his patience, his instincts, his speed, and frankly, for an undersized guy, and I guess when I say undersized, he runs like a 215-pounder at times. He runs like Cyrus Habibi-Lekio does at times, and yet he's not that big. And so, you know, when you have guys like that and you go down to T.D. Lekio and Sean Dollars, I think, showed some things towards the end, particularly against USC, and you got guys like Seven McGee and others coming in, I think you're going to have a deep, talented backfield that can catch the ball out of the backfield, can run between the tackles, can make people miss. I think whoever the quarterback is and whoever the offensive line is going to be blocking for, they've got good guys behind them. There's no doubt about that.
Mike Jorgensen with us talking Oregon football. Wide receivers and tight ends, Jorgie, you know, I feel like there's still some decisions to be made there for guys like Johnny Johnson, but it's still a deep group. And I thought that the wide receiver position took some strides this year when everybody was healthy.
Yeah, they did. They did. And I hope Oregon gets the opportunity to have some of those guys back, like a Johnny Johnson, or, you know, Jalen Redd played some tremendous football this last year. You start like looking at guys like Devin Williams and obviously the addition of Troy Franklin and, you know, some of the other wide receivers out there, Delgado and what have you. I think they've got a really nice group complemented by some new guys coming in that are new. And you've always got to remember that on some of those really talented freshmen is it's a different level to step up to. It's a different adjustment to make for those guys. A lot of talent there, but the game speeds up. The complexities of it speed up. And so they'll get there, but it's going to be a real talented group. And I hope it ends up that mixture of veterans that have been here 4 or 5 years with those young guys, because they can complement each other a lot, learn a lot from each other, and I think raise the level of the offensive production.
What do you make of the tight end position? I mean, I felt like there were some positive, and then it looked like it was going to be one of the deepest groups, but then they got hit with the injury bug themselves. Cam McCormick still trying to work his way back. What do you make of the tight end spot?
Well, you know, that's the one to me this year that was the biggest mystery. I mean, I thought Kent Moyer and DJ Johnson did a really nice job. But, you know, they were two former defensive linemen. They weren't tight ends when they arrived at Oregon. And yet they've done a really nice job of the transition. You know, I think for DJ Johnson, the full second year is really going to help him out, because then you start to learn how to do and run and read more vertical defenses, vertical patterns that you have to run versus that patented dump that they would hit him on. Mm-hmm. That was really successful. It was great to get it in his hands. He'd run over people and scored a lot of touchdowns. But, you know, you want to see guys like Spencer Webb reemerge into this group. You want to see Cam McCormick get through and be able to play a full season. But right on their tails, again, tremendous young tight ends coming in that are going to have to develop into the dual blocker and receiver. That's the biggest probably transition for really talented high school tight ends, is the blocking aspect of it when you get to college. You don't want to have to know that, hey, they bring this guy in, it's a blocking down, it's a run down, they're not going to throw the ball. Hey, they bring this guy in, we know it's a pass. You want that tight end to be able to do both. So I think they got some guys, there's no doubt about it. Just would be nice to see that full group emerge in 2021.
The offensive line had to replace 5 starters. How'd they do?
You know what? I think they did a good job. I think it started real quick. And then as teams had a chance to be able to see the Joe Moorhead offense a little bit more on film and the way that Oregon runs it and the way that Oregon blocks it, you know, they make adjustments defensively, not necessarily based on the talent that Oregon has. They do it based on what they begin to see and how things happen and what the strengths of those offensive linemen are and the weaknesses. But I thought each and every one of them got better as the season went on. Frankly, I thought for a group that had one combined start coming into the season after they'd had a group that had 200 plus combined starts, they did a really nice job, and they're only going to get better. But again, and I've said the but 2 or 3 times here, you've heard me say it, the tight end position, the quarterback position, at the running back position, behind them is going to be a very talented group coming in of freshman offensive linemen that are going to push them and are going to add to the depth that I know that Coach Cristobal likes to see along that offensive line. You like to see eight or nine guys that you can rotate in. I think they're going to have the opportunity to do that with some pretty talented freshmen coming.
Mike Jorgensen joining us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. More to come with Jorgie. We'll look ahead to the 2021 season, talk a little bit about the defense. And I saw Jake asking about what the report is on Robbie Ashford. Yeah, one of the guys who was just getting his feet wet, I think, this season at the quarterback position. An athletic dude, there's no doubt about it. And a guy who could play some baseball a little bit, too. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about him. More with Jorgie coming up. Keep it here. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We'll talk with Mike Jorgensen after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop any 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop any 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash...
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. And today's show brought to you by North Fork Public House, open for dine-in and takeout, NorthForkEugene.com. We continue our conversation via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line with one Mike Jorgensen. Heading into the season, Jorgie, I thought that the defensive line was sort of the sure thing for the Ducks. You know, guys like Faliu, Jordan Scott. And then they seemed like they took a little bit of a lull. You know, they took their punches, if you will. Then when some of the young guys like Brandon Dorlis and Christian Williams got in there, they started to do some really good things against the run. And it sure looked like we saw before our eyes, not necessarily a changing of the guard, I guess, but showing the depth of that position. And at the end of the year, the defensive line, they did look pretty good, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They began to dial it up, particularly at that Oregon State game. You know, and I think part of it was a combination, frankly, Joey, of guys stepping up and playing much, much harder than they had before. But the leadership of that defense taking over too, and getting in some people's faces, frankly, Kayvon Thibodeau being one of them, who was a tremendous player and can lead by example. All of a sudden he was leading by getting after people and making people accountable and playing to their highest level each and every week. And it showed with Cal. It showed, obviously, you know, all the way through the end of the season against USC, they played tremendous defense. I thought they played a pretty good defensive game against Iowa State, frankly. You know, in the first half, they couldn't get off the field. In the second half, 6 points and gave their offense every opportunity to get back into it. So, you know, what I want to see from that group this year is not only the stout run defense, but to be able to get off blocks and get after the quarterback. Because if you can do that, all of a sudden you got a guy like Thibodeau, you got a guy like Mace Funa who are going to come up with 10, 12, 13 sacks if there's pressure from the inside too. And so that's what I look for those guys to develop, is not only that stout run defense, but the ability to pressure the quarterback. Just makes it easier on everybody.
Linebacking core and the secondary both took their lumps with, well, availability, injuries, targeting, suspensions and ejections, everything that you could think of. That was, I thought, the story of the defense at the linebacker and the secondary positions, Georgie, was availability. And we did see some bright spots. I think Verone McKinley showed he can be a leader.
Yeah.
I think we saw Noah Sewell. How good's that guy? You know, but those two groups, you saw that they need some depth at those positions.
They do. You know, the guys that were injured, it seemed like off and on all season long, or on, should I say, maybe not even off and on. Some of them we never saw on the field, frankly. You know, when you get that health back, I think that's what's really going to help the situation, whether it's young guys like Flo or a young guy coming in like Keith Brown, who's going to join into the fray of those guys. You know, Mace Foon, I thought, played a really good season this year without a whole lot of breaks from people. Same goes with Kayvon Thibodeau, is a guy that whose motor just goes and goes and goes, and kind of plays that hybrid defensive end outside linebacker, can cover guys in the flat, yet can downright put pressure on the quarterback almost every single down. And then you go to the inside with Noah Sewell. You know, I think at the beginning of the season, there were flashes of brilliance, and then there were flashes of teams taking advantage of him because of his aggressiveness, and they used it against him sometimes. And that's the way you learn as a young player, you know, from a standpoint. Matau Tia, the great leader on the inside. That's a position I think that's going to only get better next year because the depth that's going to be added, and hopefully the health goes with it. If you can get those two combinations going together with a group of six or seven guys inside and outside, that group's in really good shape, because I can tell you the talent is definitely there.
I thought there were some bright spots in the secondary, especially with Mikhail Wright, and I thought the way Jamal Hill finished the season too, Georgie. I think that you can be excited about where the secondary is heading, at least with the frontline unit. Probably need a little bit more depth there too.
Yeah. I think that's the thing about it, is you just want a really good, solid 3 to 4 guys that you can count on every single down at that nickel position and at the corner position. Mikhail Wright is a big time player and will continue to be a big time player. And I think the emergence of Jamal Hill, particularly at the end of the season, you could just see his confidence skyrocket. The talent was already there, but sometimes it just takes making 1 or 2 or 3 plays that all of a sudden gets a guy thinking, I can make any play, could be any place, have great instincts. And he did that against USC, played a really, really solid game against Iowa State. You know, I think the ability to have another corner emerge was important and is going to be important this season. You know, with Dede Lenore obviously going on to the next level in that type of deal, you've just lost one of those big-time stop type of guys. And Rome McKinley, you put him at whatever position you want. Put him at free safety, put him at corner, put him at nickel. He's a leader back there. He's athletic, great instincts. As you know, and going through some of the interviews with him, a study freak and knows how to get people into position. That's the thing about it. He's the leader in that secondary. And the safety position, obviously, is going to have to rise to it, too. I think they got some talent back there, got some young guys we didn't see much of, frankly, that we're going to see a lot more of. But getting that third corner, that third shutdown type of corner, and another safety from the secondary that can be anywhere near what we saw Javon Holland was in 2019, I think is really what you're shooting for.
Yeah, and some of the veterans like a Nick Pickett, you know, that we've seen a lot of, they're going to be replacing those guys now with some of that young talent. And I feel like the theme here, Georgie, and it makes sense, Oregon was the youngest team in the country. Makes sense that we're sitting here talking about a couple different position groups that you'd hope would get better because they're getting more experience. That's kind of the theme of, I think, heading into this offseason.
It is. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you cannot replace snaps and repetition. That's what really makes all these young guys as they age, as they go through their career, the Nick Picketts of the world and others, that's what makes them so good. They may not be the fastest person on the defense in the defensive secondary. They may not be the most physical in the defensive secondary, but the ability to anticipate, to have seen it a bunch of times before, to have seen it on film, gets you there a half second, quarter second quicker. And that makes all the difference in the world, is just seeing it and the repetitions. That's how players just frankly get better. And I think that's what we're going to see, the evolution of this young team this last year. is those guys are going to be a lot better. It's the same guys, and I think there's going to be a lot of fans out there looking at people and going, wow, where did he come from? Mm-hmm. Well, he was always there, but now he's not thinking. He's just reacting because he's a vet, and the veteran piece of it really makes a difference.
Couple more minutes with Mike Jorgensen. I've yet to ask you what you want to see in a new defensive coordinator. We don't need to get into speculation on who it's going to be, who you want it to be, but what do you want to see from that position, and what's Coach Cristobal looking for right now?
Well, to answer the second question, I don't know. You know, that's the interesting thing is it's tough to know what Mario's really after. If he's after, I mean, obviously he's after a coordinator that's going to put together a defense that's going to be stout and try to mirror from beginning to end what 2019's season did. And that was a combination of stop the run, make a team one-dimensional, and then use that back-end talent to be able to take over from back there. So obviously you want a defensive coordinator who not only is a tremendous coach, but is a tremendous evaluator of talent and character, because that's going to be a big part of what Mario Cristobal and the staff brings to the table. We know that. We've seen it week in and week out with not only the student athletes we have a chance to spend the time with, but with Mario and his coaching staff, his culture. And it's that unique combination of finding high-level talent, big guys along that defensive line, talented defensive backs, and somebody who can meld the defense around the players that they have and do it in great harmony with all the position coaches. You know, it's a challenge sometimes when you bring in a new person that has a new philosophy and others that have been around for a while who have their own philosophy. Is having open ears as a defensive coordinator and then being able to mesh with everybody, I think, is going to be really, really important. That's what I think great leaders are made of, is being able to adjust versus just saying their way is the only way. And so I look forward to finding out who it is. I know it's a tough process for any head coach to go through, but Coach Cristobal has a lot of contacts. They always have a 1A, 1B, 1C, and 1D on their list just in case, and look forward to finding out who those people are.
And best of luck to Andy Avalos. Hoping that he does some good things, except when the Ducks are on the schedule for the Broncos coming up in about 4 years. Saturday, September 4th, Fresno State. That's the first opponent, at least as it stands now, on the 2021 schedule. Then the Ducks would head to Ohio State, come back, host Stony Brook, and then Georgia. I mean, the way that the rotations are going, assuming that the Pac-12 schedule doesn't change, and we all know that this could all change, Oregon's got to go to Colorado, to Stanford, to UCLA, to Utah, and to Washington. I think it's a tough 2021 schedule that the Ducks have.
Yeah, I would say so. And, it's too bad Oregon missed some of the people that they missed this year,
right?
Because all of a sudden, you know, in the case of the Huskies, for example, you're playing them two times in a row up there trying to get after them versus no exchange. You're playing Ohio State on the road, no exchange. Yeah, so it's going to be a tough season, but, every season's going to be a challenge. Home or away, there's going to be hurdles that you have to cross. There's going to be things that happen during the season you have to adjust to, and probably the most overused COVID word in the world, pivot, right? You got to pivot. I hate saying that word now, but they're going to have to pivot. It's going to be one of those interesting seasons, but let's get to game one first. I want to see game one in Autzen Stadium with fans, and then let's go from there.
I'm with you. Mike Jorgensen, thanks for taking the time. I will finally wrap this up for you with the fact that we tied in picks. That's the most 2020 thing ever, that we tied in picks. So I guess I can say that I'm still the defending picks champion.
You are. And I've offered to buy dinner, and I will continue to. Delivery. Remember? Delivery.
Yes. I will. I'll take you up on that. My birthday is on Tuesday, Jorgie. Maybe you're paying for the birthday dinner.
Okay. I'll note that down. You just tell me what you want delivered, and it's coming.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Jorgie. Hey, finally, also, I like the evolution of the home office. You've got a background now.
Yeah, a little bit. Still too much white wall back there, I'll tell you that.
So. Mike Jorgensen. Jorgie, thanks so much for the time. Always appreciate it. Happy New Year. Looking forward to catching up with you for some spring football.
All right, Joe. Thanks as always. It's always nice to know that Scott Phillips is in the background. Joey Mack, baby.
Yeah, we heard Scott Phillips clapping for me still being the defending champion of our North Fork Public House pick. So thank you, Scott. Yeah, that's Mike Jorgensen with us on the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. Good stuff from Jorgie. Up next, I did see Adrian asking, just thinking, wondering about running back Cross Patton. How's he coming along? He's been a solid player for Oregon, mostly in practice, but he's been a good addition for the Ducks. He is he's got a lot of speed to him for how he's built. I think that's what I like about Cross Patton. A quick timeout. When we come back, take a look at the newly renovated Hayward Field. Those NCAA championships are coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to relieve volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed. Time for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics. This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Everybody buckle up.
Mom, 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 mom.
Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Come on, buckle up.
Can we get some ice cream?
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Side, opposite of Bond Point Community Credit Union. Every Tuesday, we take a look inside a special Oregon facility. When the game's on the line, you want a proven winning team on your side, and the Josh Cooley Real Estate Team thanks you for your support and referrals of friends and family. The official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks, our Josh Cooley Home Field Advantage today, taking a look at Hayward Field. Seemed appropriate to highlight the new Hayward Field that will host the NCAA Outdoor Championships in 2021. Scheduled to start on June 9th, it will be the first big-time event, that is, at the new Hayward Field. The renovation, of course, being completed during these COVID times. Original Hayward Field, 10,500 after that renovation in the 70s. Opened originally in 1919 for football, Hayward Field did, and in 1921 for track and field. And, of course, named in honor of Bill Hayward, Oregon track and field coach, from 1904 to 1947. Think about how long that man led the program. The renovation, though, construction began September of 2018, completed in the spring of 2020. Now 12,650 permanent seats, and it's expandable to nearly 25,000. It is a theater of track and field, fully funded by gifts from Penny and Phil Knight and more than 50 other donors. And it is a campus landmark. And look, it was a campus landmark in its old form, but now it's been updated to reflect the history of Oregon. A theater for track and field. That's what they were after when they built it. And I think they did it with what they call the heroic wood roof structure. Because as Bill Bowerman said before the 1974 Hayward renovation, Oregon is wood and wood is Oregon.
a modern men's and women's locker room. Those of you watching the show seeing some of that right now, an equipment room, video room, weight room. And it's also not just for Oregon track and field. The Department of Human Physiology is now housed in the northwest corner of the stadium's practice facility. So this wasn't just athletics. This was all of campus for the Hayward Field renovation. And, of course, the multi-story landmark tower that aligns with the east stands. It is truly amazing. The tower lobby has a conference meeting room. There's also a number of different levels, including an observation deck and Hayward Hall, which I am so excited for all of you to be able to see someday. The 4,000-square-foot Hayward Hall is a museum experience situated under the east side of the stadium with windows along Agate Street. Got a timeline of Oregon track and field and beyond inside that Hayward Hall. If you ever are curious about more about Hayward, go to hayward.uoregon.edu. I thought that with the track and field schedule for both indoor and cross country being announced today, it made sense to have our Josh Cooley home field advantage be all about Hayward Field. Josh Cooley Real Estate Team, the official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks. Go Ducks. Up next, the schedule for the week and a peek ahead to today's Tip-Off Tuesday on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Inside the Country Financial Studio, we're getting ready for Tip-Off Tuesday now, presented by Carl's Jr. and coming up this afternoon. 2:30, if you want to watch the show live on the Go Ducks YouTube or the Oregon Men's and Women's Basketball Facebook pages. 7 o'clock across the Oregon Sports Network on the radio affiliate in your area. And you can subscribe to the Oregon Sports Network podcast, where you get your podcast to listen to our interviews on demand. Today, Taylor Chavez from Oregon Women's Basketball, Kelly Graves from Oregon Women's Basketball, and as Oregon Men's Basketball resumed team activities yesterday, I got a chance to sit down with Mike Menega this morning, Oregon Men's Basketball Assistant Coach, all that coming up on Tip-Off Tuesday. Jake, thanks for the birthday wish, my friend. 28 today. I really hope that my 28th year of existence is a lot better than my 27th was.
That wasn't good? 27?
27 was filled with COVID, man. You know, it's funny.
I guess.
It's not funny, but one of my friends texted me today. This is one of the things, like, you know, you talk to a lot of people on your birthday, even if it's just one text or whatever. One of my friends is like, well, I guess everybody at this point is going to celebrate at least one birthday in, you know, this COVID world. And I thought to myself, well, my wife's birthday is in April. You think that she's going to have to celebrate two?
I hope not. Everybody do your part.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Yeah, good times. We'll see you for Tip-Off Tuesday. We'll see you for Duck Insider tomorrow, everybody. Have a good one.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.